It's clear that God wants us, his people, to be filled with his Spirit. He wants us to be Spirit-filled Christians. His presence, his breath, his power within us. And you see this right from the Old Testament. So you could go back to the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, which is in Joel 2 verse 28. And he says these words, "And afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Joel is prophesying that God will send his Spirit on all his believers, all his followers. And then we have the promise of Jesus. In Luke 24, verses 49, says this, "For I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." I really like that illustration, that we are clothed with the Spirit of God, his power. And that takes us to this day, this Pentecost day, that we read about particularly in Acts 2, 1 to 4. And let me just read to you those verses. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place," meaning the disciples. "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit had enabled them." And then we can even move it a little bit further along. Because, you know, I believe that when we become Christians, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we acknowledge what he's done on the cross for us, and we understand that, and we ask him to come into our life, we ask him to be Lord of our lives. We often talk about that invitation to come and be in our lives. I believe the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in us at that point. I believe the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes, dwells within our spirit, and comes and lives with us. So that every Christian then has the Spirit of God in them. But I think it has to be, and I think this is what I want to say a number of times today, that it has to be ongoing. You know, in Ephesians 5 verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, but which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And I've heard, because I don't do it, but I don't speak Greek, or, you know, I'm not one of these clever ones that says, in the Greek, but I know in the Greek, because only because someone told me, that when he talks about being filled with the Spirit, the context of that is, that is like being filled with the Spirit. So what he's saying there is not just be filled with the Spirit, is that keep going, keep on being filled with the Spirit of God. So it's not a one-off. Someone once said that we leak. We leak when we sin or just live life or share Jesus in the world. So we need to be constantly filled with the Spirit of God, or we'll end up just drying up, or just ending up with like a pilot light of God's fire burning inside of us. And I believe that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us just to have a pilot light. He wants us to be burning strong for him. But today what I want to do is share with you about competing spirits. Let me give you a definition of what that might mean. A competing spirit is the internal conflict between opposing desires, motivations, or spiritual forces, such as the struggle between the Holy Spirit and man's selfish desires. A competing spirit. To make it clear today, I am not talking about evil possession, okay? I do believe that can happen. It's in the Bible. It's biblical. I believe when we think about that, we need to be a little bit careful of like movies and glamorization of what that might be in a movie. I don't think it's that common, if I'm honest. And I do believe that when it is encountered, it does require a mature and very caring approach around it. But I'm not necessarily really talking about that kind of possession today. But what I do believe is that we can be filled with attitudes, emotions, motivations, desires that are not best for us, that are not healthy for us, that are definitely not God's intention for us. And I believe these clash with what God wants to fill us with, the Holy Spirit, and they clash with what the Holy Spirit wants to bring into our lives, these competing spirits. Paul puts it like this in Galatians 5, verse 17. There's a bit more around it, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just verse 17 says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." He talks about these competing spirits that I think as people we face, as Christian people. God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit, but there are things that compete for the space in our lives. What might a competing spirit be? Here's a few examples. Well, negativity, anger, worry, laziness, a victim, addiction, sadness, low self-esteem, sin, disappointment, fear, greed, jealousy, apathy. Now, there's just some that I've named. There are others, but I think when I was starting to just think about this whole competing spirit thing, I just started to write down things that over the years either I've had to battle with myself or I've seen in other people, and that's just some of the things that I think compete in our lives. Let me go through them a little bit more. For example, negativity and anger. I think that's around so much today. I mean, you watch the news, you read social media, and there's this kind of constant boiling in some people. And it doesn't take much to happen before that boils over in their lives and into society. We see it mostly probably on traffic, don't we? It doesn't take much. Suddenly, and we carry this negativity or this anger because of the world around us, and we pick it up from the things around us. Low self-esteem. What I mean by that is, perhaps, maybe for some, because of words spoken over us in our past. So we've had words that have been negative spoken over us in our past, and they leave us carrying an untrue spirit, a spirit of lies within us. I think a competing spirit is sadness and disappointment. What I mean by that is life events and experiences have not gone the way we hoped, and that will happen to us all, but the problem is the effect on us just stays with us, and it begins to dominate us as we move on. I put victim down because I do think there is a woe is me syndrome that people can pick up. And it takes hold of some people. They become a victim all the time. I think addiction is a competing spirit. And addiction holds us down. I think fear is a competing spirit because fear holds us back. I think apathy and laziness are part of competing spirits. Because what apathy and laziness does is it causes us to miss out. And I think that can happen a lot in people's faith. You know, there are people who used to be in church every week, committed to meeting in fellowship through the week, would never miss a prayer meeting, would always be keen to get involved in outreach opportunities. But now it's not so. And I think because it's the enemy at play. He loves to bring us into apathy and laziness into our faith because he knows we will miss out in our faith. And another one is sin. Sin is always competing. Sin is sin, there's so many. But it competes with us because sin pollutes us. And let me just say a few things about these competing spirits today. The first is, I believe that we will all will battle or compete with some of these at times in our lives. And at different times, we'll probably compete with different ones in our lives. I think they come from life's experiences, from life's events, from life's influences, from other people at times, from society. They come and they bring it, these things into our lives. They can get in. And I think what they do is they often take residence in us. They dwell in us. And then what they do is they rob us from our godly inheritance. And they try to sabotage what the Spirit of God wants to do, wants to be, wants to bring into our lives. To link my two points, because that's my first point, I put this. To me, these competing spirits become like squatters in our lives. But here's the thing, and I want you to hear this today. They are not meant to be full-time residents in our lives. I honestly believe that as a Christian and of God, a person of God. So we need to go on. And we need to go on and talk about the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here today. That's what we're celebrating. We're thinking about, already been thinking about that. And it's the Holy Spirit often is given, I think, more of a focus on Pentecost Sunday than any other day in the year. But in some ways, it should be a focus for followers of Jesus every day of the year, if you see what I mean. It's not a one-day wonder. This is something that we should focus into, think about as Christians every day of the year. I started by saying that God wants to put the Holy Spirit in us. He wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can enjoy the fullness of what God has for us. See, the Holy Spirit brings God's love into our lives. And that love has the power to bring assurance and security in this world. I think God's Spirit brings courage into our lives. And what courage does is it helps us to overcome fear. And we said fear is a competing spirit. I think God wants to bring, through His Holy Spirit, into our lives freedom. And again, freedom is about breaking the power of things like addiction in our lives. Things that will hold us down. I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring joy into our lives. And what joy does, it lifts us above the competing spirits of sadness and disappointment. I think God wants to bring, through the Holy Spirit, into our lives, He wants us to give us our identity in Christ. And what that does is it boosts our low self-esteem. And it shows us our true value. I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring hope into our lives. What does hope do? Well, it helps us against negativity and anger. Because if we've got hope, we're getting out of the, you know, we're not all negative and all my world. And anger, hope pushes it out. I think the Holy Spirit brings purpose into our lives. I think to me it's one of the most amazing things that in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, I have this different purpose to what the world will tell me as my purpose. And what that purpose does is it drives us away from apathy and laziness. Because suddenly we're like, come on, we've got a purpose. And it lifts me out of that place of laziness. I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring peace into our lives. What does peace do? Well, it pushes back against worry and anxiety. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to bring forgiveness. Forgiveness that helps us to battle sin. You know, I believe God wants to lead us towards these continually, continually, continually as we receive His Holy Spirit. So that as we receive His Spirit, the things that compete against us, against it, begin to be pushed out, begin to be cleaned out, begin to be kicked out of us. The Holy Spirit comes and He boots them out, and it starts to help us to do that. There are so many pictures in the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit. You can talk about the Holy Spirit in the Bible of fire, water, a dove, wind, oil, breath. All those pictures are in the Bible of the Holy Spirit, and they help us to understand a little bit of the Holy Spirit. One that is not found in the Bible, but perhaps I want to suggest today, is the Holy Spirit is a little bit like a bailiff. And what I mean by that is, the Holy Spirit is about getting rid of unwanted tenants in our lives. And it's a process. It's often a journey. You know, we've been looking at myself and Bonnie helped me to think about this. We're looking at a course at the moment. It's called Tackling Anxiety Together. We know that so many people in this world, and Christians are part of this world, suffer from a level of anxiety. Some very mildly, but it still has an influence. Some it dominates quite heavily in people's lives. And some Christians have put together this course called Tackling Anxiety Together. And we're thinking, how could we use this in this church? Is it something we could put on for people to help them? And maybe people outside of church to help them. And one thing, as I began to look at the course and watch the first couple of sessions and read the first couple of chapters of the book, how it's a journey. Session one is about understanding the way and learning to change the way we think. But it's a process with God's help, with the Spirit of God helping us. You know, I'm so keen today. How do I illustrate what I'm talking about today? I've not really got any good illustrations in. I did my rocket balloon. That was all right. Somebody might remember that. But how do I, you know, and I was trying to think about this whole competing spirit stuff and how stuff creeps in. And in different places. So I thought about the shower. You know, I don't have showers in your house, but, you know, eventually the tiles always start to get a bit, you know, a bit not so great. You know, a bit of the grouting and all that. I thought it sort of creeps in. Or I'm thinking, like, obviously in your garden, you've got weeds, haven't you, that sort of start to come through. And then as I was doing my twice yearly car clean the other day, I thought, I think where have all these bits come from? Where have all these bits come from? And they just pick up, don't they? But I was thinking that because these things start to creep in, I have to do stuff. So when I'm in the shower, I get my toothbrush and I'm like this. Getting rid of it. Getting rid of the bit of grubby that's gone on the tiles. I'm thinking about the weeds. You know what, I didn't know this, but somebody, I was talking to somebody about this, says, when you've got weeds, one of the best things to do is pour boiling water on them. And I've been doing a bit, and it works. It gets them. So I've been getting my kettle out and getting it on them and boiling water on those little dandies that keep winging through. And my car, I had to hoover it, because it's got all these big little stones and little things that have crept in, and I had to. So what I'm saying is things are creeping in, but then you've got to do something, haven't you? And I was just trying to think about the illustration. So here's, I'm going to get a prop. Ooh, exciting. Okay. I'm trying to illustrate it a bit more. I've been practicing this. It's not been working very well, so no guarantees. But we're the vessel. Okay, we're the vessel. And I was like, what could I use? And in the end, I've got these. Now, you can't see these, actually, but it's floating duck food. Okay, that's what that is. And the floating duck food is going to represent the competing spirit stuff. So it's going to represent the negativity. It's going to represent the fear and the anxiety. And what we've been saying today is that those things come into our lives. They begin to come. And they start to sort of be part of us. So what we're talking about is that the Holy Spirit's coming and flooding our lives so that we can get rid of them. So he can bailiff them out. He can come against them and he can fill us with the things of him which come and push away, start to kick out those things that are not God's intention for us, that are holding us back and stopping us receiving the full inheritance of what God has got. This may or may not work. Okay, I've got so many of these. Want any water? Okay, so this is the Holy Spirit. The idea is that this is the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, filling us up. And we see the... okay, there we go. Didn't practice with this jug. Right, I've got another one. Just give me a minute. So, we need some more spirit. Okay. We need some more living water. There we go. Okay. So the Holy Spirit, okay, this is a bit that may or may not work. So, here we go. There we go. There you go. There you go. They've all gone. It worked. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. Get a job on Blue Peter. So that's the illustration. Oh, it's simple. It's not like amazingly great. But this is what happens. What I find in people is that as we go through life, these negative stuff get in. They start to take residence. And some of this, they get deep in it. They dig down. But the Holy Spirit wants to come and fill us and start to work with us. And it's a journey, I understand that, but often to try and push that stuff out that's not God's intention for us, that stops us and holds us back and influences in a negative way. So, you know, I just think we might need to consider today, we might need to choose which are we going to feed in our lives. Are we going to feed those competing spirits? Or are we going to feed the Holy Spirit? You know, a person in the Bible that I feel that I've had the opportunity to look at more closely recently is Mary Magdalene. We showed Jesus Christ Superstar, part of our Wednesday group. One or two of us came. And Mary Magdalene has a quite powerful part in Jesus Christ Superstar. And we watched the version with played by Mel C. She was very good. And the reason was because we were looking at Mary Magdalene. We were looking at people close to Jesus' pain during Lent. And we looked at Mary Magdalene as one of those people because she was there at the cross. But actually, as we've been doing this Alive course since the resurrection, we also looked at Mary Magdalene again because she was there at Jesus' resurrection. She's a high-profile person within the story of Jesus, particularly towards the end. But it goes back to Luke 8, verses 1 and 2. It says this: after this, Jesus travelled about from town to village to one another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were there with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 had come out. Now, I know I said today I'm not talking about evil spirits today. But what amazes me about Mary Magdalene is how she became so changed, so transformed through the person of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the power of Jesus to change us and to transform us. It really is. So what we're going to do today, we're going to finish the service slightly differently. Okay, we're going to have an opportunity for some worship, and so we're not going to have one song, and then I'm going to come back up again, and then we're going to have another song. And what we're going to do is I've asked the worship team to put a few songs together, because what we're going to do is as we have that time of worship, we're going to also offer opportunity for prayer. And I know some people are like, "Oh, I'm not sure, never sure about that in church," but it's up to you. But the idea is that while with some worship, if you want to, and there's plenty of space, we'll be worshipping for just a few songs, so there's plenty of time, but you might just want to come out. And as you come out, someone's going to come and pray with you. It might be me, or there are many people here that can come and pray, and they do. We did an evening not that long ago of praying with people. We're not here to talk to you. We're not saying, "Oh, tell us your competing spirit. What is it?" And then, you know, so, "Let's write it down." We're not going to do any of that. You know what's going on in your life. And the chances are we've all got something competing. And what we're just going to pray with people is, "Come, Holy Spirit. Fill that person with your Holy Spirit. And let him do what he wants to do." And I pray begin to kick out and push out and start to bring you out of those places and replace those things that are competing, the negative things, with the goodness of God that we have. You don't have to come out, but it's an opportunity, and it's something that we can do as a church. We can help each other. We can just stand with one another and say, "Can I just pray with you? Come, Holy Spirit, fill this person. Just have a few minutes receiving during the worship, and then go back to your seat. And let God just fill you." What a day to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. Every day should be a day. But yet today, perhaps more than any other, as we invite the Spirit of God to come and fill us. So my questions are this. Do you feel that a competing spirit has somewhere, somehow, become a squatter in your life? Any of those things that we talked about earlier? Do you think they've, I don't know, just got in somewhere? You know, what did I talk about? I don't know. I talked about negativity, anger, low self-esteem, sadness, disappointment, being a victim, addiction, fear, apathy, laziness, sin, and there could be others. Have any of those, over these last weeks, months, perhaps even years, took residence? They're not God's best for you. They're robbing you, holding you back. So then the question is, would you like to invite it, be filled again with the Holy Spirit of God, who helps to push out, clean out, kick out those competing spirits by replacing them with the things that God wants to bring into our lives? His love, His courage, His freedom, His joy, His identity in Him, hope, purpose, peace, forgiveness. If you want something of that today, just as we worship, we're not going to make a heavy thing of it, but we're given an opportunity on this Pentecost day to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. And yes, we can say, come Holy Spirit and fill us all in block. Absolutely you will. But there's something really powerful about standing with somebody and saying, can I just pray with you? Come Holy Spirit, fill this person. I think it just, I don't know, it connects in a slightly different way. If you've never come out before, you might think, oh, what's that all about? Nothing strange is going to happen. It's a prayer, that's all. We're at the church. Can we not pray for one another? And so if you want to come out, just stand. And eventually, somebody will come to you. And if you're happy to come and pray with people, please come and stand with somebody and just pray for a few minutes. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill this person with your love, with your courage, with whatever God wants to bring. Just going to be an opportunity for the next 10, 15 minutes as we worship together. And that will take us down to the end of the service. Let me pray for us before we do. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity on this Pentecost day. What a beautiful day. Not just because the sun's shining, but a beautiful day because we're celebrating the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord, the Holy Spirit is not meant to be a gift that's given one day a year. It's something that you constantly want us to be filled with us. And I think one of the biggest reasons is because if we don't, other stuff will get in. Things that are not of you. Some of us bubble with anger or feel very sad and negative a lot of the time. Some of us are overcome with fear and worry, stress. Some of us are battling sin. Lord, whatever it be, Lord, these are things that I believe your Spirit, as it fills us, begins to melt away, begins to push away. So that we may be filled more with what you've got for us. Your peace and your joy, your purpose, your love. God, I want to be filled with that stuff. And it's available, freely available to all who want to receive. Because that is your promise. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to invite you all to stand initially, but if you feel a bit tired during the worship, because we're going to have 10, 15 minutes and you want to sit down, you can do. But we're going to create space. God can fill you where you are, He can. But if you want to come out today just to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the opportunity is welcome today. Thanks, guys.